The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. It is a Friday afternoon. Once again, I can't believe that we have made it to Friday already. Sometimes with this COVID virus and the shelter in place and all of that stuff, it seems like time has just stopped, and then other times it just speeds away, and that's kind of the way it feels. I can't believe it's actually Friday, but it is. And my number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483, and happy May 1st. Yeah. Happy May 1st. Well, a little later in the program, we will have our daily dose of common sense. At least I hope. I will share with you not hysteria, not panic. I will share with you facts and statistics about the coronavirus, where we are in the state. And if you have not found out yet, while you were sleeping, wasn't there a movie by that name, While You Were Sleeping? While you were sleeping, while we were sleeping, Dr. Amy Acton signed another order extending the stay-at-home order until the end of May. Yeah. Well, it's not the stay home order. It's the stay safe Ohio order. Really? I am desperately trying not to become cynical. I'm being serious. I am desperately trying to keep from becoming cynical. But in the news conference today, both the governor and Lieutenant Husted made a big, 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 big deal out of the fact that they have changed the name of the stay-at-home order. The name. As if changing the name will make it easier to swallow. We'll talk more about that a little later. But if you haven't heard, and it was a bizarre thing, because yesterday at the press conference, several people from the press asked the governor, the stay-at-home order expires. You said you may extend it. How long? And the governor said, Now, again, I have tried to lend as much support for the governor as possible. And I mean that. If you listen to this program, I believe you know that to be true. I have really tried to throw all the support that I possibly can behind him. But he knew in the press conference yesterday that this stay-at-home order was going to be extended till the end of May. He knew that. At 2 o'clock yesterday, he knew that. But it was an intentional political decision not to announce it, but overnight, while you were sleeping, Dr. Acton signed another order. And my biggest question through this, does this violate the Ohio Constitution? Now, I have read both sides, and I believe this is in violation of the Ohio Constitution. I really do. These are things left only to the legislature. And I have messages in both to Senator Larry Obhoff, the president of the Senate, and Larry Householder, the Speaker of the House. And I have heard from both of their offices that I will be granted an interview soon. I have been told that in the very near future, both of them will come on this program to answer questions about where is the legislature in this? Where are the elected representatives in this? The legislature is going to meet, is my understanding, next week. And it is going to be quite a meeting of the legislature because there are a whole lot of legislators that are more than just a little upset about the power that has been exercised by the executive branch with almost no consultation whatsoever with the legislative branch. There is a rebellion brewing in the Ohio legislature. And next week is going to be fascinating to watch. But anyway, again, probably at the top of the hour, we'll go over facts, figures, statistics. And then, as always, I want you to make up your own mind, make your own decisions, come to your own conclusions. I will try to provide the facts, the figures, the statistics, the percentages that you're not reading about in your daily newspaper or that you're hearing about in your evening news. Although, I have to say this. I wasn't planning on I was going to say this later, but knowing my mind the way it works, I will probably forget. I have at times been pretty critical of a lot of our local TV stations and the coverage of this whole COVID-19. I must commend Channel 10. Now, Channel 10 is the only 11 o'clock news that Joy and I watched last night, and we didn't watch all of it. I have told you, I'm trying to abide by my own advice. We watched the first 2 or 3 minutes of the news and then turned it off. I was very pleasantly surprised that on Channel 10 last night, number one, they featured 2 or 3 positive stories, encouraging stories. They did not begin with more people died today. There were people dying yesterday. People died today, and more people are going to die tomorrow, and you could be next. None of that. Some really encouraging things, number one. Number two, if I saw it correctly, they did not play any of the governor's daily press briefing. And why should they? It's the same every single day. But for weeks and weeks, every night, 11 o'clock news, a great deal of attention is given to rebroadcasting the day's news conference. It's worthless. I don't think they played any of the news conference yesterday. Good for them. And third, they actually reported the news. When all of this began, repeatedly I would tell Joy, you know, before all of this COVID-19 thing, there was news. This happened on the south side. This happened on the west side. This happened downtown. This happened in the short north. Here's a story about something that happened in Westerville or Hilliard or whatever. The entire newscast was filled with news. Then when the COVID-19 happened, it looked like there was no news. Nothing happened. Everything quit happening. Last night in the 11 o'clock news, Channel 10 actually, but get this, in the newscast, they actually reported news. And I commend them for it. I do. I don't know anybody at Channel 10. I have no dog in this fight. And like I said, I didn't watch any of the other two for good reason. I'll just leave it at that. For good reason, particularly one of our 11 o'clock newscasts that has drifted so far to the left. Just so far to the left. But I commend Channel 10. Good for them. They were balanced. They reported the news. They didn't sugarcoat anything. But it was unbiased, balanced, and they even reported some positive things. Good for them. All right, and good for us. We need to take a break. My number is 877-BOB-LIVE, and this is Friday. You want to get something off your chest? Want to talk about something? Well, give me a call. What did you think when you heard that the Stay Safe Ohio order was extended another month? 877-BOB-LIVE.
Bob Burney Live. Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Since the beginning of this whole COVID-19 thing, and churches have, of necessity, switched to online services or drive-in services, I have consistently pleaded with you, support your local church. Please, please, please support your local church financially. The bills have not gone away. Staff still needs to be paid. For the most part, utilities have to be paid. Probably not as high as usual because of people not in the building, but most of the expenses just keep going on. This is a shocking survey from the folks at MarketWatch. And they are saying, let me read it to you. Experts say that monies collected during Christian services amount to 78% of the revenue for each congregation. However, the authors of the survey found that 39% of the congregations they surveyed did not have enough funds to cover 3 months' worth of expenses. The survey goes on and gives a very bleak picture that a considerable percentage of American churches will not be able to survive this crisis. Now, for the first time that I ever remember, federal funds are available to help churches with payrolls, but most churches and pastors that I know are not going to receive it. They don't want the strings attached from the federal government, and they are graciously saying thanks, but no thanks, and I honor that decision and even agree with it. So 39% of churches, according to this research, can't survive 3 months. So, like I said, please continue to support your local church. Please continue. All right, I got some new heroes in Arizona. The members of Camp Verde Community Church, which was a United Methodist congregation. Back in 2017, Camp Verde Community Church in Arizona voted to leave the United Methodist Church because of the denomination's stance on marriage and sexuality. So they informed their district. They informed Bishop Robert T. Hashibata of the Desert Southwest District of the United Methodist Church of their decision. And as has happened over and over again, the good bishop of the North or the Desert Southwest region of the United Methodist Church said, okay, see you later, but we're going to take your building. Excuse me. We built our building. We paid for our building. It was built with the blood, sweat, and tears of our congregation. We paid all the bills. And the good bishop said, that's nice. You can have the people. Go ahead and take the people. We don't care about them, but we're going to take your building, and we're going to go to court to take your building. This has happened dozens of times, and folks, you try to convince me that this is not evil on the side of the denomination. Trying to take a building paid for by the people, maintained by the people, and a congregation that is taking a stand on biblical principles. Well, Camp Verde Community Church lost. Yep, they lost in court. A judge ruled against them. They have been ordered to leave their building, much to the delight of Bishop Robert D. or T. Hashibata of the Desert Southwest. So, what is he going to do with the building? Close it. Now, that's according to the news report that I'm reading. Close it. So the people have left. They're going to be fine. The congregation's going to be fine because the church is not the building. It's the people, and the people are fine, and they have left. And so get this. This bishop of the United Methodist Church goes to court to get the building, kicks the people out, and then just closes the building. He would rather have an empty building than to allow a bunch of Bible believers to meet in their own facility. That's evil. That's just evil. Such is the case, however, of many American Christian denominations. But I got new heroes in Arizona.